Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
We had a big assignment yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Review your life and make a list of commitments you have kept. What did you see in the process of answering this question?
The second part being perhaps the most salient.
Yes, exactly. All right, here we go. First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi, it's Phil.
Hey, Phil.
Can you hear?
We can hear you.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
This was a very interesting one. So I went to do it, and it was like, wait a minute. There's so many commitments I've made in my life and kept that I can't even name them all.
Can't even remember them.
No, I can't even remember them. You know, like they started from being when I was little. You just had to keep showing up.
Uh-huh.
And so what then I saw I brought it all the way up through, you know, now, and it's like even now there would be too many to list, even in one day almost. It's just
uh-huh.
like to show up, you know, show up for life, show up. And it's great. I mean, you know, when I look at it that way, my life is just full of commitments that I follow through on. But then, you know, of course, saw in the back of my head how conditioning was saying, and then look at all the ones you didn't do or follow up on. And,
of course.
Yeah. You know, of course. But the interesting thing is, those would be the ones that without practice, I would usually dwell on. Right?
Exactly.
I mean,
yes,
just
exactly.
All the ones I didn't do and how.
Yes.
Oh, I never did keep learning typing or Spanish or whatever it is I've tried zillions of times to do or, you know, things
well,
like that.
And, Phil, that's an important distinction because conditioning, as you say, is always going to vote for the, well, but what about?
Mm-hmm.
Were typing and Spanish the same level of commitment that you had to showing up for life?
No, not at all. I mean, I wanted to, and I did for a while. But,
yeah,
and
me too.
But things,
well, I'm actually a great typer, Phil. I'll confess.
I know you are. You've told me.
but Spanish? I mean, I've tried.
Uh-huh.
I've tried to learn Spanish my entire life, but
me too.
I didn't learn it, which tells me mm-hmm. I actually never committed to it. It stayed in the realm
yeah.
of something I would love to do if I had more time and were a different person. But
yes.
it's as you say, the ones that you look back on that are subheadings under showing up for life, those are the commitments that I think we would really call commitments, not just, yeah, I'd love to do that. I'm going to give it another go.
Yes, because when you say that, it's like everything that I feel like I'm committed to, really committed to, and just do, you know, I don't even have to think I'm committed to them until I look at it. I just
mm-hmm.
show up for them. Are mm-hmm. enable in the, that's the way you say this, but in some way they enable practice, they enable life, they enable
mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
that's I guess what I'm passionate about, because I never conditioning would say I'm never passionate about anything either.
Right. Which is why we don't look there for information about
we
it.
We no. don't.
The
it's
other thing that I think is really important, and I'm eager to see if it shows up with other people too, is that you see it, and then in comes a yeah, but. So this is what you're passionate about. You're passionate about showing up. And then here comes the voice, well, yeah, but you're not really passionate. You've never really been passionate about anything. As soon as you bring up a topic, it's got something, excuse me, it's got something negative to say about it.
That's right. And I saw the beauty in, I mean, I see it a lot, but this is another one popped in, of awareness practice, is that, and the way we're, you know, we separate ourself from that voice, from that's the only thing we're separate from that voice and ego-centric karmic conditioning. And so when we hear it, and so we're aware of it, so we keep hearing it, we're aware of it, we keep hearing it. And I noticed a while back that if you listen to that, if it says it long enough and you're aware of it, it's so boring that in itself is a motivation to just forget about it and not listen to it.
Yeah. Yes, it's where people get with nagging. Not the kind of nagging I do, of course, which is
not yours,
the
of
ultimate
course.
Expression of love. I think about kids, you know, just mm-hmm. hear the same thing over and over, and there's no presence to it, and it's like a broken record, and it's just like, oh, I'm not interested in that. And that's where we get with with those voices. There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah, good
it's
point.
Like,
oh, this is another boring story. I just don't want to hear it anymore. I mean, I realize that a lot of what finally has just dissolved into nowhere is mm-hmm. because of that. You know, it's like, who wants mm-hmm. to hear that one again?
Right. I got better things to listen to. I listen to what's true and real. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I got a recorder. I've got lots of things I can be listening to that aren't that way. So anyhow, yeah, this was interesting because just to see, you know, a life so full of commitments kept, and then how all of life is just for showing up, and yet ego would like to point out all the, you know, the
mm-hmm.
stuff that
everything negative
that mm-hmm. undone. Yeah. So
mm-hmm.
thank
all right.
you. These
thank
are great
you,
assignments. You're welcome.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks, Phil. Oh, there were so many things dropping in for me around that, right, Cherry, which is that that the notion of what is a commitment and how are we tortured by our not paying attention to how we define that for ourselves, because that's the ambiguity of the assumption is always where conditioning can take, the self-hate can take hold.
Mm-hmm.
And to recognize mm-hmm. that as a process assists us to be really clear about our agreements to ourselves.
Yeah, because if I'm not paying attention and it says, well, you know, you made a commitment to X, Y, or Z and you didn't keep it. If I'm not paying attention, I just assume that that's true. But if I'm looking the way we're talking about, I can say, well, was I really committed to that? No.
Mm-hmm.
No,
mm-hmm.
I actually wasn't. Well, so what am I really committed to?
That's right, exactly. And to me, that when we enter the realm of practice commitment, to watch out for that bamboozle, that conditioning is always running, right? The commitment is never the content. It's always the process. And the process is that I'm not listening to a voice in my head that tells me to do something or tells me not to do something. That's really mm-hmm. my only commitment. And I get to practice mm-hmm. with whatever, patting my nose in the morning or making gassho to the door or whatever it is that I choose to commit to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm committing mm-hmm. to watching how I'm controlled by conditioning and how do I get free from that, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. So if we make conscious, as you point out, very small, simple practice commitments, and we learn to keep those in spite of what the system does to try to stop us, that takes us out of that realm of, well, but you said you were going to run every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just interesting that variety and gradient of what a commitment is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello, it's Colin in England here.
Well, hello, Colin.
Hello.
What are you saying?
With this, it wasn't a great big long list looking back over my life, I must say. I think sometimes I don't necessarily sort of formally say to myself, this is a commitment, but it's just something that I'm going to do. And I don't sort of waver from that. I've never committed to meditation, for example, but it's just something I know that I'm going to do every day. So perhaps it is, as what Ashwini was saying, is what I call a commitment. And I've made commitments to things like an exercise, daily exercise, and healthy eating, and things like that. But there have been a lot of times where I think I do get talked out of things quite easily. In the past, I've been talked out of things by conditioning that I just get talked out of them. And
am I hearing in that, though, Colin, not so much anymore?
Well, it's with practice. Obviously, there's making practice commitments now. So I'm sort of seeing it a lot more. And just this week, I've made a little commitment. And I noticed yesterday there was just this sort of deluge of just being talked out of it. I don't want to do it, and it's a waste of time. And then waking up this morning and, oh, there's something better to do, isn't there? And, oh, that's so exciting, all this new project. So I'm going to ditch that and do this new. And then sort of by lunchtime, I kind of came to, and I sort of realised that I'd just sort of been taken over for about it. So, yeah, so I'm coming back to the commitment, just to stick to the commitment.
And that's it, isn't it? So, again, what you're pointing at is an important piece of this. The commitment is an overarching. It's bigger. It's the bigger thing. So you're committed to meditation. You're committed to healthy eating. You're committed to exercise. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be a Nazi about it, right? It doesn't mean that you either will do that perfectly every day or you will be beaten. It's a commitment to a way of being. And now that commitment to a way of being with yourself in the world is what you practice with. It's what shows you what's going on with you. Because as you say, you made that commitment and then you watched how that system did everything it could to get you not to do that. That's how commitment supports awareness.
Yes, yeah, so it's really useful to see that. But it does seem to make it into a contest. I noticed that, so if I'm going to go running, I have to do it every day. Yeah. And then, of course, I have to be running a little bit further every day,
and
before
faster.
I know it.
And love it a little more. Be more cheerful as you do it.
Yeah, and then it's just absolutely hopeless. And
it
falls apart. Yeah.
It's going for, right? It just
up the stakes
until you finally give up, and it says you're such a failure.
Yeah, and it seems to do it doesn't matter what the content is, it seems to do that all the time. It did sort of just dawn on me, I could just run one day a week, couldn't I? And that would be all right to just do it one day a week. But it does sort of seem to sort of... It brings a lot of energy into it, that it's inflating it up, it's going to be fantastic, I'm going to do all this, and it's marvellous, and before I know it, it's sort of completely run out of control, and it's completely unattainable.
And it sucks the energy out of it.
Yeah.
And so even better than deciding to run once a week is deciding to take those voices out of control over your exercise.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, I suppose I do fall for it. I think it's the, I get taken over and it's then sometimes later I wake up and realize that I've been taken over. But,
and that it makes awareness practice the overarching commitment. Right? Because that's what you're really committed to. And now you get to see how, it, first of all, it gets you excited about, oh, it's going to be great. You're going to be so fit. You're just going to run forever. Oh, it's going to be fabulous. You're going to, and then it starts sucking the energy out of that so that it can beat you up for being a failure. You get bamboozled and basically go to sleep and forget that you were even ever going to do that. You know, all of these tactics that that system uses to control us, that's what these little, these smaller sub-commitments enable us to see. So you want to eat a healthy diet, and then it talks you into eating half a chocolate cake. You get to see how that happens. It's not a failure. That is actually the success that we're going for.
Yes. Oh, and that's really fun, isn't it, to live like that?
Yeah, in all those little ways.
It's a really lovely place to live. Throughout the day, there's all these little things, aren't there, sprinkled throughout the day that make it really
interesting. That we're bringing awareness to, and we're seeing how we're controlled, and we are stepping free of it.
And every one of those that ego calls a failure,
if we just reframe that and realize, no, these are actually successes because I'm seeing what's happening here, then the game changes.
Little by little, that's really great and so encouraging. Thank you.
All right, keep having fun.
Lovely. Okay. No, it is fun. All right, thank you.
It is. Thank you, Colin.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Colin. It really comes down to how we define everything, right?
Yeah.
Right, Sherry? Yeah. Because then again, if we reframe what success is, then self-hate doesn't have a leg to stand on. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I love about practice and the ongoing insight of practice is that it's always a verb, that it's always an ing, we're practicing, and that the pattern of practice that is always available for further and further recognition is how it's always the process of getting past the barrier to being here. And so if it's the commitment to not eat cake or whatever it is, there you go through the same place, the same pattern. There's that excitement of the commitment. There's the honeymoon period. Then there's the resistance. Then there's the transcendence of resistance. Then there is that wearing away till it becomes our choice not to be controlled by conditioning around this particular content. And that muscle can be transferred to whatever the next barrier is. But we want to recognize that the pattern is a consistent pattern, and the only thing that changes is the duration of it. It either takes a lifetime to do, or in the case of something, it might take a week or 30 days, as we've discovered for most things.
Because it's a process. That's what we're getting, right? It's a process. How that system controls us is consistent. We get confused because it goes from content to content to content. But what it's doing to us and how it's doing it is exactly the same in every case. That's what we're catching on to.
All right, here's our next caller.
And, just quickly before we go on, I wanted to say this to Colin because I heard us saying it's fun. And yesterday, of course, for people who didn't get a notification, the blog, the new blog is up. But as we were putting that one up, I thought, I want to do a blog on fun because I think, you know, if people don't haven't been doing this practice for very long, they might think that we are on something, because it certainly does not look or feel like fun until we get to that point that we were just talking about with Colin. And then it really does become fun. So I think the next blog is going to be on what are these people talking about? How can you call suffering fun? How masochistic is that?
Yeah. It's that we call ending suffering fun.
Exactly. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Here we go. Our next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Sherry. This is Judy from San Francisco.
Well, good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to share that I have been bamboozled into not being in the queue for a while.
Yes,
and
I recognize that because I haven't talked to you in a long time.
And then today's call, the bamboozle was, well, the show's half over. Why don't you just start on Monday?
Good idea. I would gladly pay you on Tuesday for a sandwich today.
And so when I heard that, I said, wait a minute.
Uh-huh. We're not going for that anymore. So you recognized, suddenly, combination of miraculous events, you recognized the bamboozle, you saw it for what it was.
Yeah, I saw both of them. They, I have nothing to say. I get, I go into la-la-la land during the call, so then can't participate. All of that.
Uh-huh. And, I don't think that that's true. And the logic of it, of course, is not good, right? So don't participate because you go into la-la land during the show. Whereas what we know from our experience is participating keeps us out of la-la land.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Twisted.
Yeah.
Twisted.
Yeah.
All right. So I was reviewing the list of commitments. And I noticed they were about health and self-care, like healthy eating and plenty of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed with the plenty of sleep that I used to be embarrassed to tell people that I get 8 hours of sleep a day.
Mm.
As if it was a luxury that no one should have.
Oh, it's shameful.
Like a luxury.
The right people get max 4 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I told someone the other day about it, and it burst the bubble about the embarrassment.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because, and actually, I remember when that, I think I remember, when that entered our culture, and it was with John Kennedy, because he was famous for getting only, like, 4 hours of sleep. So if you want to be like JFK, then you need to cut back on your sleep and get really productive, right? And now, of course, science is telling us it's killing us, that if we're not getting 8, 9, some people will even say 10 hours of sleep a night with the stress of our modern society, all that our body goes through on a daily basis just to survive the toxins, it's really bad for us if we're not sleeping a lot.
It's a recovery period, right?
Yeah.
The recovery period, yeah.
Yeah, and it's harder and harder and harder to recover. So now you can be proud of it. You know, I heard a statistic, I don't know if it's true, but like 60-some percent of Americans, again, I don't know what goes on anywhere else, but have sleep issues, struggle with sleeping. So you are way out ahead of the game. You know, you can proudly announce that you could even add the at least, I get at least 8 hours of sleep a night. And not to, and you can be an inspiration to other people.
Yes, it can be done. And not to throw it in their faces like, why don't you do it? You know, why can't you? And
but it could start a really good conversation, right? Because
it's a hurdle.
When we find that thing, you know, I mean, depending on the relationship, but it can lead to a conversation, a supportive conversation about what is a person doing that they're not sleeping at night and how could that be different? You know, I always offer people recording and listening because, I mean, that's cured insomnia in a lot of people in our practice. And, you know, if you're having trouble sleeping, they now make earbuds that you can sleep with. And you can listen to your recordings. People report that it changes their dream patterns. They'll wake up into positive dreams or feeling supported and loved because what they're listening to is that kind of information, and that's what's directing their dreams. So it could be very helpful to let somebody know that there are people that they know. Who are sleeping well, and that there are things that, that can be done.
And to frame it like similar to, I learned how to ride a bike. You don't know how to ride a bike? I can show you. It's possible.
Oh, let's do it together.
Exactly. Yeah, not like, well, it's a deficit that they don't know how to ride a bike.
Right. But
you've never ridden a bike?
God, what's wrong with you? Yeah.
Exactly.
Not like that. Yeah. Well, I think we've put paid to this notion of La La Land. What do you think?
Nice. Woo! Yeah. Yay! Thank you, Sherry.
Another bamboozle bites the dust. Thank you, Judy.
Yes, poof. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Judy. Sherry, we have time for one more caller, so here we go. Next caller.
All right.
You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, I'm on. It's Patty from Vancouver.
Ooh. Hi there.
Hi.
What are you
seeing? I just had butterflies in my stomach.
It's so exciting,
oh my goodness,
isn't
I'm
it?
On.
Yeah, very exciting. Very exciting.
So,
what's going on?
Well, a couple of things from listening to this call that I realize in relationship, I get involved in my husband's commitments or lack of, and how I realize my ego is getting in the way of him, like an exercise program that he doesn't commit to. And I realized,
and he
wow.
should. Clearly he
yeah,
should.
Yeah, he should.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So I recognize how I do that not only to myself, but to others.
Uh-huh. And so just to be clear, does this keep you from your own commitments, or do you keep your commitments and then have time and space left over to be concerned about his commitments?
Yeah, I keep my commitments when it comes to the exercise part of it. And so it's sort of maybe a smugness or something about, well, come on, you can do it too.
And it sounds like there might have been a little opening with this to expanding it beyond exercise.
Yeah.
That there might be places where you don't keep commitments and that's okay. And if he does or doesn't, that's really immaterial.
Correct.
Is that helpful to see?
Well, and also that there are places where I don't keep commitments, so why would I judge him? You know, he's working on his own process of trying to figure out what's best for him.
Yes, well, and of course we know why, right? Because it's not you. You've been taken over. And ego is using your mouth to sow seeds of discontent. So we know what the bottom line reason behind this is. And with this kind of awareness, then you're really freed up to watch that process.
Right.
That And that it does it kind of pretending like it has something to do with caring about him.
Right.
And when you step back and look at it, it's the, you know, what Judy and I were just talking about with sleep. You know, that's really not the way we support judging and criticizing mm-hmm. people tends not to cause them to feel supported and loved and nurtured.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not very caring.
Right. And yeah. we get to see how it does the same thing to us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the thing. It does it to us, and then it's able to get us not to notice when it's doing it to other people as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The other thing that I have been noticing actually in the past few days, and I've been doing recording and listening about it, is the to-do list and overwhelm and commitment, in particular to things I want to do around practice and
uh-huh.
how the voices are really at me, or I'm noticing them, I should say. And uh-huh. and so I just keep doing and listening to the recordings. And in fact, this morning, I've been bamboozled into, well, I don't know the technology to set up this fundraiser for the Africa Project. And, you know, so it's been, that's been bothering me. And I just went on this morning and went step by step and had a glitch. So, you know, emailed and, you know, I took some action and will continue to take the action. And so not allowing the voices to stop me or to procrastinate any further.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And as an aside, we are having another support call tomorrow, so you could have a chance to ask your... Good, yeah. And with that, you know, that's the kind of thing that once we let go of the, I'm going to instruct somebody else in how to live their life, you know, that's the kind of thing that when we share our process with somebody else, really legitimately talking from a perspective of, this is what I was doing, this is what was happening to me, this is what I did, and this is the result. Somebody who's not being judged or nagged could hear that, kind of back to the riding a bicycle thing, could hear that and see something about a possible process that could be helpful to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're doing something like an exercise program, those steps that you went through, those are the steps for everything.
To keep that commitment.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. And to run into the bamboozle, run into mm-hmm. the roadblock, the resistance, the whatever it is, stay with it, get through it, get to the other side, keep going. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. your husband with his fitness, we all know that's exactly what he's going to go through. Because
mm-hmm.
it's what we all go through with everything. Ego mm-hmm. is always there saying, no, that's too hard. You don't want to. Why do that? You're not good at that. It's not going to work.
Or you don't
know
enough. Or yeah.
You don't know enough. Start on Monday. Start next week, next month, after the holidays,
yeah.
first of the year.
Yeah.
And so when we come back to what's really going on with us and we talk with people about that from a place of our own excitement, not instructing them, mm-hmm. then sometimes we can actually be helpful.
Mm. I'm going to listen to this recording again.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. Because back to, you know, what we were talking about with Colin, whatever it is that we are trying to do, that what the system is doing to stop us is exactly the same. And that's why, to me, it's really fun to take on new things just to watch it do that.
Mm-hmm.
To watch it do it and get better and better at better and better at not listening to it, not believing it, and not doing what it says.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it gets to be fun.
Yeah, and that's what is happening with this website fundraiser thing. It's the first time, and I'm, you know, and so I get to see that.
Yeah, yeah.
I get to see it working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exciting.
All right. It is exciting. It's very exciting. All right. Well, probably talk to you tomorrow then on the support call.
All right. Thanks, Sherry.
All right. Thanks, Patty.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Patty, and that brings us to the end of another fabulous show, Sherry. Our assignment for today, do the two-handed recording exercise with the one who makes commitments. What did you notice? Mm. Record and listen.
Mm. Mm. Mm, that is exciting. All right, well, thank you so much, Ashwini. And
thank you, Sherry.
Everybody, have a great
weekend. And we'll talk to everyone on Monday. Unless we talk to them on the support call tomorrow.
Right, exactly. All right.
All right. Take good care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.